Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is under Department of Public Safety protection after receiving death threats this month related to her opposition to Senate Republicans' controversial audit of November's ballots. Governor Doug Ducey ordered the security detail after her office requested it earlier this month. Hobbs was chased by a man outside of her office earlier this month, and as she posted on Twitter, a man called her office the same day saying she deserved to die and asking what she was wearing so she could, quote, be easy to get. It was one of three such threats she received that day, she said. It's not the first time Hobbs has dealt with death threats, and she's not the only Arizona politician to deal with them. Superintendent of Public Instruction Kathy Hoffman was threatened during a debate over sex ed requirements in the state in recent years. And, of course, Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was shot and gravely wounded in Tucson a decade ago as she carried out the duties of her office. I spoke more about this disturbing trend with Mona Lena Crook, a political science professor at Rutgers University and author of the book Violence Against Women in Politics. And I asked her if this kind of intimidation and harassment is on the rise.
So, yes, I do think that is an accurate perception that political violence is on the rise in the U.S. And it's really linked to growing political polarization, increased tendencies to really dehumanize and demonize political opponents. And that's really connected to a rising tide of misinformation and disinformation spreading in the public sphere. And that's then connected to expanding numbers of really platforms and resources for perpetrating abuse. So really the incentives for perpetrating intimidation have gone up and the tools to do it have also become more accessible to a wider range of people.
Yeah. I want to ask though about the level of government at which this kind of thing is happening, right? Like it's not that surprising, I think, to most people that the president gets death threats, but it might be surprising that local officials, school board members might receive death threats.
Yes, I think that's a really important point to make, that this is a challenge being faced by elected and appointed officials at all levels of government. And in fact, local politics really can attract a lot of abuse because these are the types of decisions that are being made really to affect people's everyday lives, things like educational policy, for example. But local officials are also more accessible to the public, right? So it's easier to connect to them, to intimidate them, and for example, to know where they live, know where their children go to school, where their spouse works as well.
Yeah. So you're the author of a book about violence against women in politics in particular. So, I mean, is this more prevalent among female politicians? Like, is this a thing that is more directed toward women more often?
Yes, there really does seem to be growing evidence, both in the U.S. and globally, that women, as well as people of color, really seem to be more targeted for these forms of abuse, right? So on the one hand, they're facing the same abuse that's faced by, all public figures, but they also challenge, traditional ideas about who should be a politician or who should be a leader, right? So what this means is that the types of threats that they face can often be much more vitriolic and hateful, right? People feel angrier when that public official does something that they disagree with. But because of, inequalities in our society, there are a lot more tools available for people to, threaten and degrade and humiliate women and people of color, right? Using sexist or racist words, terms of abuse, right? So there are a lot of tools available that really can be sort of mobilized to justify exclusion and inequality. So what we see, for example, is that both men and women may receive, threatening phone calls or online abuse, but women will get a higher volume of that abuse and they'll get really, very sexualized abuse as well. Or if you're a person of color, extremely racialized abuse. So it's really like kind of compounded. Both of these things are really sort of working together to raise the level of abuse faced by exactly the groups that we'd want to have more in politics and public life.
Let me ask you then, when does this turn physical? Like how often is this threats and how often is this actualized?
Well, we can see that there's really a whole sort of spectrum of possible forms of abuse and intimidation. And it's true that in the United States, we've seen relatively low levels of physical violence. But, you know, even in Arizona, you have Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who was shot, right, in the course of performing her political duties. So it can turn violent in a very physical way. But I think that we should also not discount the impact of psychological abuse, because it's the type of thing that doesn't just sort of affect you personally, but also can affect, you know, the ability to carry out, you know, the job to which you were elected or appointed. It can affect your relationship with the public. And so I think that all of these things have a very real impact on people who want to serve in public life.
Right. That leads really well to my next question, which is, you know, when does this affect the willingness of women, of people of color in particular, to enter public life, to enter politics? Because, you know, this is something that can be so scary, so hard to deal with.
Right. Well, anyone who wants to enter public life is going to have to sort of weigh the cost and benefits and, you know, potentially facing violence, character assassination, threats against your family members. Those are really heavy costs. And I think it's not surprising that it would weigh on people and their decision to get involved. But I think that we also have to really not just say, well, that's just life, because, of course, certain types of people are disproportionately affected with this abuse, right? That really reduces the diversity of voices that we have in the public sphere, right? So it's really, I think, very important that we really recognize that this is a serious problem that affects democracy, not just equality more broadly.
Mona Lena Crook is a professor in the Department of Political Science at Rutgers University and author of the book, Violence Against Women in Politics.